Welcome, everyone, to the Senate Committee on Business, Transportation, and Economic Development. It's May 3rd, 2011. All right, so looks like we have most of the legislators here on House Bill 2150, so we will open a public hearing on House Bill 2150. Senators and Representative. Senator Dinkfelder, you want to go first since you're allegedly protecting your committee? You want to go back quick?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm State Senator Jackie Dinkfelder, Senate District 23. And yes, since two of us in the committee are here, I'm getting a little nervous about what's left behind. But in all honesty, I really appreciate you.
I got a lot of questions, Mr. Chair.
You opened yourself to that one.
It's okay. We're hearing about chickens and farmers markets and honey. I'm sure it'll not too much damage can occur.
The honey bill's a good bill,
yeah.
By the way.
Thank you for that testimony.
What, hunt chickens?
No, honey, not
honey.
Hunting.
Honey.
Oh.
Yeah. So we are here to talk about some proposed amendments that I'm assuming that you have copies of the dash twos and the dash threes.
We do.
Is that correct? Okay, thank you. And I do appreciate you taking the time to hear this bill and hear our amendments. The reason that we've brought these amendments forward is both Representative Kotek and I have been working on an issue in our community, and our districts are adjacent to each other, that we've heard a lot about. I, in particular, have heard about for the 10 years that I've been representing Northeast Portland and now Southeast Portland. We're concerned about some of the problems that we've seen with liquor establishments in our districts. And so the reason that these amendments are before you is to take care of some of these problem establishments. Most liquor establishments in our communities are good partners, and they help provide safe, profitable entertainment. However, there are a few problem establishments that present threats to public safety, and our communities need more tools to address them. So, unfortunately, we've had some bad examples in the Portland area and other areas of the state. This is just not a Portland issue, as you will hear other examples. But we had a fatal shooting on New Year's Eve at Club 915 in downtown Portland, left a risk of gang retaliation. And even though police urged them to close, Club 915 opened the next night. The other legislators and I worked on a bill this session to provide communities with tools to address the type of problem establishment. Senator Atkinson is the other chief co-sponsor on this bill. So the amendments before you propose to move forward with the best parts of that bill. So the dash A2 amendments give city government and local law enforcement the ability to close an establishment for up to 72 hours after a serious crime occurs if the offense was related to operations at the premise and a threat to public safety remains. The dash 3 amendments designate a member of the OLCC for someone who has expertise in law enforcement or public safety. I don't know if you all know this, but of the 5-member commission, there's only one seat that is specifically designated for representation from a particular area, and that one seat is designated for a member from the alcohol industry. So that is the only designated seat on the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. In order to have a more balanced perspective, and here comes our other co-sponsor, on the commission, we need to have a seat designated for someone with expertise in law enforcement or public safety. Many have commented that these amendments are really to address a Portland problem, but districts across the entire state are harmed by problem liquor establishments. And in reality, this is a district issue for every one of us. And Senator Brzozinski has turned into my other co-sponsor.
Are you okay?
And Representative Esteval is also a chief co-sponsor and can speak about some of the issues that have been occurring down in Southern Oregon. With that, I'll hand it off to my other co-sponsors.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Tina Kotek, State Representative, House District 44, North and Northeast Portland. Senator Dinkfelder has done a fabulous job of describing the problem. We have tragic events occurring at problem bars and taverns around the state, and we've been trying to work on this issue. As you see, the dash A2 amendments. You also have a document from my office that explains the crimes that are referenced in the dash A2s, because this would allow us to allow local law enforcement to respond in a very targeted, limited manner to particular incidents at certain bars and taverns. Right now, the OLCC can technically pull a license from an establishment after a major event like the ones listed in the A2 amendment. In reality, the response is slow. As Senator Dingfelter mentioned, the Club 915 shooting, it took a week for the city of Portland petitioning the OLCC to pull their license. And what we're trying to do is allow a quicker turnaround time to cool down, an event, calm down a community so there isn't reprisals or other things that could happen after a serious incident. As you see in the A2 amendment list that I gave you, there are things like murder, rape, assault, manslaughter, very high-level violent crimes that can create huge problems in communities. There are criteria here. There has to be an immediate threat to public safety. The incident must have occurred in an area the establishment controls involving the patrons that they've served, and it has to be related to the service of alcohol. Very limited, very targeted, aimed at public safety. The dash A3 amendments, again, as Senator Dingfelter mentioned, those are the amendments that would add a public safety expert to the OLCC, definitely something we need. And I think just in closing, I would say this has been a very bipartisan effort, as you can see from Representative Esquivel, Senator Dingfelter, and Senator Atkinson as chief co-sponsors of bills we've had on the House and Senate side. These two amendments, again, try to hold on to the most important pieces that are important to our districts, and we hope you'll support amending House Bill 2150 with these two amendments. Thank you.
Thank you. For the record, Sal Esquivel, Representative District 6, which is Medford. We have common problems. It doesn't matter what part of the state you live. We all know we have the places that are sometimes troublesome in our community. I find it fascinating that a fire chief can shut down a facility, but a chief of police cannot. That just astounds me, even though there's been some violent things that have gone on in your community and within these particular entities. The other thing I think I come to is the conclusion that OLCC is too slow in reacting and sometimes don't react according to the severity of the particular goings on in these particular entities. So I would like, hopefully, that you would adopt these amendments, that you would further this thing and move it forward. And I think it's very unfortunate that we have to be here to ask permission of our chief of police to shut down a troubled establishment within our community when everyone in the community knows it's a problem, and yet OLCC will not react to it.
Can I not do that under municipal law?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, what we heard in testimony on the House side was if there's an investigation, for example, if there was a shooting, the police will normally shut down operations for the length of time they need to do the investigation, however long that takes. But that could be a couple hours and then they could be gone. As far as we know, only the OLCC has the ability to suspend dispensing privileges, to say you can't serve. Only the OLCC can do that right now.
That doesn't really shut the business down, though. It just means they can't serve alcohol.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we have someone here from the City of Portland who could probably address that. The folks who've been supporting us are the City of Portland, City of Medford, League of Oregon Cities. They don't feel they have the tools to address these very serious incidents. And I don't know the specifics of why not, but they helped us draft legislation saying that we don't have the tools we need to, in very, very serious incidents like you see listed, to actually shut it down.
And actually, the A2, just to address your concern, it would allow to shut down a facility for 72 hours after a serious crime occurs. I think the most compelling testimony comes from law enforcement. We had the City of Medford Chief of Police that came and testified on the House side. We have full support of the public safety officers on this bill. League of Oregon City supports it because it's an issue that is facing many cities across the state. And so I think you'll hear more testimony from the folks who are trying to deal with these problems directly.
And Mr. Chair, Sal, for the record, Sal Esquivel, Representative District 6. I believe that it would take a little bit longer through the municipal part of this, and the reason I say that is because I came from a city government, and I understand what their nuisance ordinances are, and they're substantially different than what we're speaking of here, and I'm not sure that they can craft an override OLCC particular ordinance. Okay.
Questions?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Let's go back to the other work. Senator Brzezinski. Representative Hovey, are you here on this one or a different one?
Different one, I believe. He and I are both going to be here on 2924 as well. Mr. Chair, committee members, Floyd Brzezinski, State Senator, District 4, parts of Lane and Douglas counties. I came to give some words of encouragement for the original bill, House Bill 2150. I've just been made aware of the A2s and A3s, so I'm not going to be commenting on those except to answer a question that the chair had. Senator Esquivel did make mention, a reference that many cities do have ordinances that would deal with nuisances, and so that might be something the committee staff may want to look into as to the ability to for a city to enact some type of enforcement through their nuisance ordinances. But the reason I'm here in support of 2150 as it was presented and as it's before this committee without the amendments, it actually is another piece that goes with House Bill 2924. And let me try to explain. 2150 provides for distributors at dock sales to be able to sell product that has up to 9% alcohol. And the reason that I am in support of that is that when we have the conversation and the testimony on House Bill 2924, you'll see how this would work in tandem. We believe that this is a key portion for the distributors to be able to offer similar products that would be able to be sold through a brewery license to be available to the for dock sales, but with limitations. And Mr. Romaine will go into the reasons why they've chosen to limit it at 9%. As many of the members of this committee may know, that even in the craft beer industry, some of the alcohol contents is above and beyond 9%, when you especially get into such things as barley wines or some of the imperial brands of the different products. But they've made a conscious decision that they would not want to seek, at least at this time, the higher percentage than 9%. 9%, I would assume from my work with craft brewers, would probably cover at least 85, 90, maybe 95% of the product that is being produced through our craft brewing industry. So that is my testimony regarding House Bill 2150.
While you're there, Senator, let me go ahead and open the public hearing on House Bill 2924 and let you do that, too.
All right, thank you. And if it's all right, if Representative Hovey could come up at this time, and if it's all right with the chair, I'm not sure. Mr. Romaine is also here. If you want to take his separate, because he's going to testify on both these bills, I believe.
Okay, we'll do that.
Okay. Again, for the record, Floyd Brzezinski, State Senator, Senate District 4, representing parts of Lane and Douglas County. I would defer to Representative Hovey since he's the chief sponsor of the bill, and then I will add a little bit after that.
Thank you, Senator, and thank you, Chair Beyer and committee members for hearing House Bill 2924. For the record, State Representative Paul Holvey, Eugene, Benita Crow, and Lorraine. I brought this bill forward to address what I thought was a different kind of nuisance, and that was essentially a little bit of parody in the sales of alcohol. It came to my attention that some of our breweries have been what I consider unduly limited in what they can sell at dock sales to the public. And as Senator Brzezinski earlier mentioned, our craft brewing industry in Oregon has been growing and growing, and they do produce quite a few beverages that are above 8%, which our current statute limits our breweries from selling at dock sales. They are not allowed to sell anything over 8%, and in fact, they also have a gallonage limit at 5 gallons. They can't sell anything less than 5 gallons. And so I wanted to bring a little more parity to the brewery licenses and being able to sell to the public at dock sales, similar to what wineries and brew pubs could, but was unable to achieve clear parity with those sorts of things, but did, I think, make some improvements that the industry supports. And basically taking the restriction of 8% away on the malt beverages, since a lot of our malt beverages are over 8% now, and lowering the restriction from 5 gallons down to 4 gallons, which also has a modest improvement for the breweries to be able to market their beers at dock sales, which is becoming more and more popular at some of our craft breweries around the state. That pretty much sums up my testimony. I appreciate your consideration of this bill, and I appreciate Senator Brzezinski deferring to me for the first time, I think.
Mr. Chair and committee members, to follow up, now that I deferred, I figured I'd do cleanup. So for those who don't have their calculators available, the 4 gallons actually would mean that they would, at the dock sales, instead of now the requirement is to sell a minimum of 3 cases, they would be able to sell 2 cases. And the reason that we felt this is important is because the value of the craft brewery products are more expensive. It makes it more accommodating for those who may want to buy dock sale to be able to actually purchase it without coming in and spending a lot of money on the dock sales. And this is something that has been worked with the industry. Mr. Romaine will hopefully give his thumbs up as he has worked through this, and this is one of the decisions that was made that instead of having a lower number so it doesn't have direct competition with retail, you still have a significant purchase that needs to be made, but it's not as great as it has been in the past.
Okay. Senator Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So it just moves from 8% to 9%.
As Mr. Chair and Senator Edwards, on this particular bill, it would take away the percentage. So at the dock sales, they would be able to sell other products that's above and beyond the 9%. But they would, but the 2150 would have that limitation. But that's by choice from what Mr. Romaine and his clients want to, let's say, be engaged in on the type of sales.
And Mr. Chair, if I may, Senator Edwards, to clarify just a little bit, they would be able to sell malt beverages above 9%. Not that's what the statute currently right. is, and I'll defer to Mr. Romaine to define. What alcohol content a malt beverage is, but I think that's spelled out in statute already or in rule.
As compared to beer. It's a different terminology.
Mm-hmm. Other? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Mr. Romaine.
Yeah, thanks.
We're open on both of them if you want to punch them.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Paul Romaine. I'm an attorney in Portland. I'm here representing the Oregon Beer and Wine Distributors Association. And let me talk about 2964 first, because that was 24. Sorry, everything's merging. That was the first bill that sort of generated this issue, and that was how do you get brew pubs to be able to sell the stuff they're now producing. This really came out of Ninkasi Brewing Company and breweries to sell what they're now producing. There are very few brewery licenses in the state. Most of the people you see out there that are producing beer have brew pub licenses. There is no limit on what they can sell off their dock as far as alcohol content. There is a traditional brewery license limitation. Years ago it was 6%. I think we bumped it up to 8%. And this was precipitated by Ninkasi Brewing Company out of Eugene, which produces this wonderful it's called Tricera Hops. It's an IPA. It's a very good product. And frankly, you can't get it in a keg at the brewery or at a wholesaler. So the original bill was to allow them to be able to sell, in effect, the stuff they're now producing at the brewery. And then when we realized that they were selling it at the brewery, we could not put into that bill, because of the relating to clause, the ability to sell it at a wholesaler. So that's why we had to bring in 2150 as a separate thing. So I was the one who stole the relating to clause first on 2150. So And that bill was changed because it was not needed anymore by the commission who had sponsored it to allow for the raise from 8% to 9%. So we could sell some of the Oregon microproducts off the dock. The reason why that's important is that if you can get it at a brewery in Eugene, but then the rest of their distribution network, you can't get it, it doesn't really do that brewery very much good. So it's a small amount for us, but it is a big help for folks like Ninkasi. Now, speaking to the two amendments that have been offered, first of all, we have no objection to the Dash A3s. That's the one that authorizes or requires a member to have an expertise in law enforcement or public safety. We have no problem with that. We think that's a good idea. We think the governor should be putting somebody like that on the commission that brings a different expertise there, and we would encourage it. We have no problem with it. The problem with the A2 amendments is they will kill the bill and basically will not make it through the House. I do not represent the retail community, so I can't speak to their particular concerns, but all I know is that the House already voted on this in the House Judiciary Committee, and it failed. It failed in that committee, and this is an attempt to take it and put it in here. So I also know from the committee chair of the committee that 2150 came out of that he would not concur in the bill if it has the Dash A2s in it. So you'll have to talk to Mr. Perry if you want more particulars on the policy reasons, because I'm not well versed in it, but all I know is if you do adopt it and it kills the bill, it will hurt Ninkasi Brewing Company. Again, the A2s, the chair of the committee has no problem with the A2s. A3s. And we, again, have no problem with putting a law enforcement person on. Okay, happy to answer any questions.
Senator Edwards.
Wait, so you were just talking about the A2s to 2150?
Right.
How do those hurt Ninkasi? Are we getting mixed up with our bills, or am I not tracking something?
No. Mr. Chair, Senator Edwards, the reason it hurts Ninkasi is right now we can sell as wholesalers any beer that's up to 8% or malt beverage up to 8% by volume off the dock. So most keg sales to individuals will come from the dock. You go to the distributorship, you pick up a keg. If we're limited to 8%, we cannot sell Ninkasi's beer off our dock. So you in Portland or you someplace else in the state outside of Eugene will not be able to get that product. That's how it...
Really quickly, Mr. Chair, that's House Bill 2924,
right? No, 21, that's 2150. 2924 allows Ninkasi to sell it off their own dock, but their dock is in Eugene. You're talking two different animals. One's a brewery license, one's a wholesaler license. We would have liked to put it in one statute or one bill, but we couldn't because of the relating to clause on 2924. That's why you have the two.
Thank you.
Okay. Questions? Any other questions? Thank you, Paul.
Thanks.
OLCC, have any comment on this? Let this one go. All right, well, we do have on 2150, David Brandenburg and Scott
Winkle.
Oh, there you are.
Chair Beyer, members of the committee, I'm David Barenberg from the City of Portland. I am here to testify in support of the A2 and the A3 amendments that Senator Dingfelder, Representative Kotex, and Representative Esquivel spoke about before. What the A2 amendment does is provides the police with the ability in an emergency situation where they think that there is a threat of ongoing ongoing unsafe condition that they may close down or not authorize the sale of alcohol for up to 72 hours. That's an outside number of 72 hours, and why the reason why this is an important tool for law enforcement is that there are occasions where there are serious crimes that are committed involving a murder, assault with a deadly weapon, other such crimes, which have a threat of continuing violence that would happen at the establishment. There's no ability for the police, other than for the immediate investigation of the crime at hand, to say, and what they've been fearful of in a number of instances, very small number of instances, is a threat of violence on a subsequent evening, that opening up that there could be gang retaliation, or an item or a act of violence that could continue. So it's not in the case of just there's a random murder outside on the street, but that the law enforcement agency has a belief that the continuation would constitute an immediate threat to public safety, which is a high standard, you know, based upon a belief that, you know, there was one of these offenses. One of the questions that have been asked before is, can't you just close this down as a crime scene and use that as a reason of keeping an establishment from reopening the next night if you have this fear? And the answer is no. I mean, law enforcement controls the scene of a crime for the amount of time that they can need to control the scene of the crime to investigate whatever the offense that was committed. The OLCC isn't set up to respond to immediate issues like this. And the issue that was raised in the testimony by legislators of Club 915, OLCC took quick action, which for OLCC in the way that it is set up, you know, was, I think, 6 days later, being able to suspend the license. They have a process and that is different than one that responds to an immediate threat to a shooting or a gang act of violence. So public safety has no ability to respond beyond just to the incidents if they have a fear. We asked our police chief, how many times a year do you think that this authority would be used? And the answer we got was 4 or 5 times, if that many. Having the ability to do it, too, may also lessen that the number of times that it is used. On the A3 amendment, I would agree with the testimony of Paul Romain that it is a good item. It's a good balance to have on the commission and to have another perspective brought. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions that the committee may have.
Scott.
For the record, I am Scott Winkles, representing the League of Oregon Cities, and I'm appearing in support of the dash of the A2s and the A3s. And I would also add, we are certainly in I am personally in support of Ninkasi Brewing Company, and there's some of their fine products in my fridge. I'd like to respond to a couple of comments made earlier in regards to the use of a nuisance or code enforcement procedure to address issues at a liquor establishment that isn't really going to help a city that's facing an urgent situation where a person, where a crime has been committed. That is a process, using the code, your code enforcement involves, would be a hearings process in front of a city councilor or another hearings officer. It would take time to do that. It could not happen quickly. What the cities are asking for in the A2s is the same type of authority that a health enforcement officer or a fire marshal might have. A health inspector can go into an establishment, inspect the kitchen and say, you've got rats, you're shut down. A fire marshal can go into an establishment and say, you're in violation of the fire and life safety code, your place is a death trap, you're shut down. But under current statute, a police chief who, even after a violent crime has been committed and the police chief believes that that crime could be repeated on a subsequent night where another party starts looking for payback or there's retaliation, a police chief can't say, we need to shut this down for 72 hours in the interest of public safety. That is the authority the League of Oregon Cities is asking that our police chiefs have. As to the A3 amendments, The league believes this is essential for the operation of OLCC and for the continuation of public safety. I will relay an anecdote to the. I was appearing at the commission to testify on an administrative rule process. I forget the. I don't even remember what I was testifying at the time, but part of that process, we watched the commission approve a license to an applicant. The applicant was of a relation to a person who had recently been prohibited from stepping foot in a liquor serving establishment. They were the owner of the building where this person was going to get the application, and we sat and. We watched the OLCC, the commission itself, problem solve. So this former owner of this establishment, who again prohibited from owning the establishment, could go into the building and make repairs. Essentially what the commission did while we were watching is allow a ghost ownership to take place. And I'm sorry, unless a person was truly simple, they would not have, it was obvious what was happening. Having that police perspective, someone who understands law enforcement and essentially criminal behavior on the commission, we believe is essential for public safety. And with that, I'm eager for questions.
Any questions of these two witnesses? Seeing none, thank you. That's all I have that are signed up. Does anybody else wish to testify? Okay, we will close the public hearing on House Bill 2150 and 2924. And we'll move back and let's see. We'll open a public hearing on House Bill 22.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a question?
That's the wrong one, right? I said 54. 20. It was closing to a question. Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair, is it your intention to work House Bill 2150 this afternoon?
I haven't decided yet.
Because if it is, I'm supposed to be in a meeting right now, but if you're going to work the bill, I'm going to stick around. If you're not, I'm going to leave.
Well?
I mean, I'm supposed to be in a meeting that started 5 minutes ago, but if you're going to work the bill, I'll stick around. And if you... So.
Why don't you go ahead and go to your meeting? We won't work it today.
Okay.
We're going to work session on House Bill 2254.
Richard. Senate Bill 2254 clarifies that a business entity can file an application to convert into another business entity. If you recall, we heard this on April 26th, and there was an amendment, a -1 amendment, that was adopted, adopting a merger plan to the allowable activities that a dissolved corporation can carry out, but we didn't have fiscals and revenues at the time. I now have no fiscal impact and minimal revenue impact on that amendment, so the bill is ready to move if you feel like it.
Okay, we're in work sector.
What bill?
Questions?
What bill?
We're on 2254, okay. Top of the agenda.
Oh, okay. I was looking
it's
at
it. It's one
the
we heard last week, I think, yep. Wasn't it? And it was, as yeah. I recall, there was no controversy on that other than we didn't have fiscal and revenue. Oh, yeah.
Controversy?
Hmm?
Mr. Chair, I'd move 2254.
Senator Atkinson has moved House Bill 2254 to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there discussion on the bill?
Motion, Mr. Chair, did we already incorporate the -1 amendment before?
Yes, we did.
We did.
And we can make a motion that it's as amended.
As amended.
Okay.
Well, we have a motion on the floor. Senator Atkinson on House Bill 2254 as amended.
The
-1s, right?
Yeah, I think
the
-1s, I'll make sure.
Okay. Seeing no discussion, all those in favor of the motion say aye. Oh, wait a minute, excuse me. I'm confused today. You guys threw me off my pace here. Yeah, let's just call the roll for practice.
Senator Burdick.
Aye.
Senator Edwards.
Aye.
Yep.
Vice Chair Atkinson.
Yes.
Chair Byer.
Aye. House Bill 2254 as amended is passed to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Senator Atkinson, you want to carry that?
I would be delighted.
There we go. Okay, so we'll close the work session on House Bill 2254, and we will open a public hearing on House Bill 2148. Richard.
House Bill 2148 allows applicant for either a wine self-distribution permit or direct shipper permit to prove their license status by providing the OLCC with sufficient information for verification by electronic means or other means acceptable by the commission. There's no revenue and no fiscal.
Okay. It says yes. Tom?
Senator, which bill are we on? I think maybe
2148.
Oh, Roche. Sorry. I thought you said 2147. I screwed up.
You said 2148.
I said 2148, but I skipped over that. I'm sorry.
I will read in 2148. I apologize. 2148 clarifies that any person that holds a liquor license with retail privileges can participate in the OLCC Responsible Vendor Program. There's no revenue impact and minimal fiscal impact.
And very little impact.
Now.
Good afternoon, Chair Beyer and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Tom Irwin. I'm the Government Affairs and Communications Director for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. House Bill 2148 is about the Responsible Vendor Program, which was started and created by the 1999 Oregon Legislature. It helps create best practices in licensed establishments so that licensees, the employees that serve alcohol, are given the best training possible in terms of being able to check for ID, and so that they're reducing the amount of sales to minors that occur in those establishments. This bill simply adds new license types that are eligible, then would be eligible to participate in the Responsible Vendor Program that heretofore had not been covered. And those license types include brew pubs, breweries, and wineries. And that's basically what the bill does.
Okay. Questions at all? Seeing none? Guess not. I want to make sure that I don't mess this one up. This isn't the one that needed the emergency question.
No, it's
right?
the other bill.
That was 2147. Okay. That's all I have signed up. Does anybody else wish to testify on 2148? Seeing none, we will close the public hearing and we'll open a work session on 2148. Chair moves 2148 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. There was no fiscal right.
No.
Discussion on the motion.
Minimal.
No. Opposition. Senator Atkinson is a no. Anybody else? Going once? Twice? All right. 2148 is passed to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Senator Atkinson registers a no. Senator Starr is excused. And Senator Edwards, did you carry this one?
Sure.
Okay, we'll close the work session on 2148. We'll open a work session on 2147. Richard?
Again, 2147 allows applicants for either a wine self-distribution permit or direct shipper permit to prove their license status by providing the OLCC with sufficient information for verification by electronic means or other means acceptable to the commission. There's no revenue impact and no fiscal impact.
You're up again.
Chairman Byron, members of the committee, again for the record, I'm Tom Irwin, the Government Affairs and Communications Director for the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. House Bill 2147 is trying to get us into the 21st century. Basically, today we have to get a true copy of a verification that a direct shipper, wine shipper permit is has a license in another state. And to do so, we either need it to be faxed or sent to us by snail mail. This bill would simply allow us to go check the website of other states to see that the establishment is licensed, and so allows us to do it in an electronic manner that by statute we were prevented from doing previously. So that's basically a let's get into this century type of bill.
Questions, Tom? Seeing none, thank you. That is all I have signed up to testify on 2147. Would anybody else?
What? Emergency clause.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
And we need an emergency clause.
Yes, I'm sorry. Because of the way the renewals are
done. You want to explain why you need an emergency clause?
Sure, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much for that opportunity. Thank you, Richard, for remembering. Yes, we did want to amend the bill. I apologize. To add the emergency clause, simply because most of our renewals are done on a yearly basis, but we send the renewal notices out in October. So for us to capture this and make it and implement it by 2012, we would ask that an amendment be added for an emergency clause, if
okay.
possible.
Thank you. Thank you again.
Sorry we didn't catch that on the other side.
Again, is there anybody who wishes to testify on 2147?
Oh, I see. Okay.
Seeing none, we need to get an amendment to put the emergency clause on, so we will close the public hearing on 2147, and I think that takes us down to... We'll open the public hearing on 2066.
Go ahead, Richard.
House Bill 2066 requires a tax consultant or tax preparer licensed applicant to possess a preparer's tax identification number issued by the Internal Revenue Service. There's no revenue impact and no fiscal impact.
Ron Wagner.
Good afternoon, Chair Beyer, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Ron Wagner. I'm the Executive Director with the Oregon Board of Tax Practitioners. We are the only state in the nation with an active licensing program. Our program has been in effect since 1973. The IRS has not had previously any role in licensing or control with those who prepare tax returns for a fee. They have been interested for a number of years, and about 4 years ago began the process to look into creating a system. They sent members out to Oregon to look at Oregon's licensing program, looked at California's registration program. The first step that they have created was to determine the number of people out there nationwide who prepare personal income tax returns for a fee. So they have begun to register those folks. For this last tax year, beginning January 1st, 2011, anyone who prepares a tax return for a fee was required to obtain a P10, a preparer tax identification number from the IRS. That was a requirement to be able to prepare tax returns for a fee. So the first requirement that we ask is that we add to our list of qualifiers that before the board will issue a license or renew a license, that we have assurance that the person has obtained a federal P10 from the IRS and is in compliance with the federal mandate. The second thing that this bill would do is raise the number of hours of experience needed as a licensed tax preparer from 780 hours to 1,100 hours to qualify to take the test to become a licensed tax consultant. The board has two levels of licensure. The first level, licensed tax preparer. They must work under the direct supervision of a more experienced individual. As a licensed tax consultant, which is the higher level of licensure, the individuals can work without supervision. They are expected certainly to have a much higher, broader knowledge of tax law. The pass rate for those taking the licensed tax consultant exam is fairly low. It's around 34%. And so the board of directors feels that it would be helpful if folks had more experience as a licensed tax preparer before they sat for the licensed tax consultant exam and wish to raise the number of hours required from 780 to 1,100 hours. With that, I'd be more than willing to take any questions.
Questions? Mr. Reiner? No questions? On this side? Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who wishes to testify on House Bill 2066? Seeing none, we will close the public hearing, and we will open the work session on House Bill 2066. To get the ball rolling, the chair will move House Bill 2066 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Discussion on the motion. Senator Girard.
Well, I told you earlier that I just don't think that increasing the hours is going to impact the passing rate, and I just don't think now is the time to actually be putting people out of work. So I will be a no.
Okay. Anybody else? Seeing none. Those in opposition to the bill. Senator Girard was a no. Anybody else? Okay. House Bill 2066 is passed to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Senator Girard's a no. Senator Starr is excused. And we'll close the work session on 2066, and I think we've finished the agenda.
Carrier.
Carrier.
Yeah.
I'll carry it.
You could move.
Actually, Senator Burdick, would you like to carry that?
With him against it? Are you kidding? I'd be happy to.
Okay. Senator Burdick is carrier.
2924, you can move.
Is there anything else to come before the committee today? Senator?
2924, you could move.
Didn't
I? No. 2150, you did not.
Which one didn't we move?
The second one.
Didn't you? Well, I kind of told Senator Starr we wouldn't do. He asked specifically about 2150, but
he does. I don't. Does he care about that?
Who's that?
I don't think so. But okay.
Starr. He was a yes.
Sure.
Well, I guess we could do 2990-40. Want to do that?
I'm good with it.
Is that?
You've got
we'll open a session on 2924. All right. The chair would move House Bill 2924 to the floor with a due pass. A discussion on the motion.
Good bill.
Anything that gets Nicasi out there.
That's a carrier right there.
All right. I don't hear any
Nicasi
discussion.
Is in my district, so.
Nicasi's in everybody's district. It's only produced in yours.
Well, this is true. This is true.
No, that's the brownies.
Opposition to the bill. Seeing none, House Bill 2924. God, I'm having a day with this. House Bill 2924 is moved to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Senator Starr is excused. Close on 2924. Is there anybody else or anything else to the
carrier?
Oh, there he is. Actually, I think probably Senator Przanski wants to carry that.
Yeah, I think Floyd.
Senator Przanski will check that, and if for some reason he doesn't want to, Senator Edwards would love to carry it. Okay. We're adjourned for the day.